Father, as we gather today, we're reminded again that our strength is small and that our wisdom is also small, and that we need to turn to you and look to you at all times and in all circumstances for all things. But thank you that you have said in your word that your strength is available to us and your wisdom is available to us. So we are not walking blindfolded, trying to do an obstacle course, though sometimes we may feel like we are. But you are there to guide, to uphold, to instruct, to direct, and sometimes to correct, but you will get us to our destination. But help us to rely on you more so that we run into complications less frequently. We ask now that you would take your word and use it in our hearts today. We pray that we might apply it, because it is in the application that your word has fulfillment. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'd had this message prepared for some time and was looking for the right time, and I asked Pam Nichols a couple weeks ago if she could have a worship dance done to a certain song that I like a lot, and that will be happening toward the end of the message, and then we'll have our closing prayer followed by our regular closing hymn and our benediction. But this may be kind of a recurring theme here in the last few months, but we have so many who are going through so many things. So this is probably the last message on this particular topic that we'll do for a while. But I felt the Lord showing me something here in these passages. And they're both from the book of Isaiah. So I found it interesting. Isaiah captured both of these about 15 chapters apart. But my, do they dovetail together. And so today, by the way, I am watchless. I left my watch at home this morning, which is something I rarely do, so I probably need a timekeeper. What time do we have right now? What have we got? She brought my watch. Give my wife a hand, would you? Oh, her watch. Okay, her watch. Either way, she's prepared. I can see this. I can see that. The formerly young. But I can see it. All right. And if you're one of those who likes to keep the notes or whatever and fill in the blanks, now would be the time to get those. Let's start with number one right now. Number one, Isaiah highlights two areas in which total dependence upon God is absolutely essential for the believer. The areas of strength and wisdom. So Isaiah 40, we know it well. And if we don't know the rest of this passage, most of us know that part that says that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And what a wonderful passage that is. And a lot of us know that other verse over in chapter 55, where the Lord says that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and that our ways are not his ways, and that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than ours. So these two areas, which are critical for the believer, Isaiah captures them both, again, about 15 chapters apart. But both are equally important, and it is in these two areas that we go lacking many, many times. So isn't that apropos? How many have ever felt like your strength was running out? I mean, like Bennett said, we may be strong, we may be able to do a lot. Did anybody follow the Olympics? I mean, these people are fit. Are they fit? Are they all fat and out of shape and been eating a bunch of McDonald's, double cheeseburgers and stuff? Or are they fit? And yet, because of the strenuous activity which they're engaged in, be it a sprint or a marathon or swimming or whatever it may be, do many of them at the end sometimes even fall to the ground exhausted. Does it happen? So we have here, fresh in our memories, a very vivid picture of just, no matter how strong we are, no matter how well we train, no matter how many years we train or anything else, just how small is the strength of a human being, at least at the physical level. And no matter how prepared we are, our strength is soon going to run out. And of course, there's another kind of strength that we need as we encounter the battles of life day by day, the stresses of family life. Family life isn't stressful, right? Oh, not at all. How about the stresses of the workplace? How many here work in the ideal place where there's no stresses? And then there's just the stress of watching TV. If you watch any news or anything, everything bad is happening, from the shooting a half a block down from your house to a few more of our troops being mowed down in Afghanistan or whatever. And so there's stress all over the place. So there's another kind of strength that is needed in order to get through life. And in that area, sometimes we think we're strong too, but we're not really. And sometimes we say of a certain person, oh, they're strong. Well, the only people I know that are strong at all are the ones that are operating in the strength of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? And if you see a believer, you know, but that seems to be strong, it's probably because they're experiencing the undergirding of the Lord. And that is what the Lord wants to do. And that is the normal Christian life, that we would be walking in the strength that He provides. But for some funny reason, even as believers, sometimes we get the idea that we want to do this. or whatever, that we can do this, and then we begin to run into trouble. But these are the two areas addressed by Isaiah, the areas of strength and the areas of wisdom. Number two, our strength is finite and quickly reaches its limit. And so some are stronger than others. Some can only go a short time and reach the limit of strength. Some can endure a little longer. Some can endure a little longer. Some can endure, and we're watching and we're amazed. But everybody's strength has a breaking point in the natural. And all of our coping skills and all the things that we know at some point just vanish away. And so when people really, at the practical level, really start running out of gas, in these areas, then psychological problems begin, substance abuse often begins, extramarital affairs begin, all kinds of things begin to kick in order to try to compensate for the fact that, you know, life is hard and there are stresses and we're beginning to run out of strength. And so we can see it, and we can see it in the lives of the people around us. All the different things that people employ and do to try to cope with the stresses of life. But it's just the fact that their strength has run out. And since they don't know how to turn to the Lord, and they don't know how to draw strength from the Lord, then you can't blame them for looking for some kind of a solution. But the problem is that the solutions that we seek as people, most of the time, just complicate and compound the problem more long term, even though it might bring us a few moments or a few hours of relief. So that's why it's so important that as believers, we learn to draw strength from Him. But our strength, it definitely has its limits. Number three, now we get on the wisdom part. Our wisdom is limited at best, and often flawed. Sometimes it is actually at cross purposes with God's will and plan. James says there's two kinds of wisdom. There's natural wisdom of this earth, and there's wisdom from above. And he has some things to say about the natural wisdom of this earth, and they're not very nice. And if you want to find out what they were, go later today to the book of James and read it and see what James had to say about natural wisdom. But let's just say this. Our natural wisdom may be okay for a few practical things here and there, but by and large, man's wisdom has always been in opposition to God. So just take that as a cue right there. And we think we know and all of this, and so often our own wisdom, it may be such that we can achieve the goal we have in mind. The only problem is the goal probably wasn't God's goal to begin with. And so we succeed, and in succeeding, we actually fail at the spiritual level, and we actually fail regarding what God's plan and purpose and will is for our lives. And whereas if we had begun to depend on his wisdom, we could have avoided a lot of the pitfalls. And isn't it funny that when we get fixated on something that we want to do or achieve or have or whatever, we can never see any of the negatives when we're in that state? We don't see them until later. And by then, we've already signed on. Number four. God's strength is unlimited. That's the point of these two passages. And his wisdom is perfect. God doesn't make any mistakes. Because number one, he never has any wrong purposes. Which sometimes we do. Even though we dress them up and try to make ourselves think they're noble. And the other thing is, he has infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He knows the whole thing. Our knowledge is partial. And therefore, that is why many times we think we've got all the facts, but we don't. We make a decision based on logic, reason, whatever, thinking we have all the facts, only to find out later we don't have all the facts, and therefore, had we asked the Lord, inquired the Lord. I was reading a passage last night where the king who was in disobedience, king of Israel, sends his servants to go ask the prophet of Beelzebub whether he's going to survive his injury or not. And Elijah cuts him off at the pass and says, "Is there no God in Israel that the king is sending to inquire after Beelzebub? You can just turn around right now and go tell him this from the Lord." And so, had we inquired, is there no God in Israel that we don't inquire of him and check with him before we jump into stuff? Number five. God's strength and wisdom are available to those who want them. Oh, and I am so glad. I remember Jesus on one occasion lifted his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have revealed these things to babes, but you have hidden them from the wise." Just a simple person who wants to know God's will, who wants to operate in his strength. We don't have to have a degree in theology. We should be learning more of the word all the time, but we don't have to have a degree in theology. We don't have to have any fancy titles behind our name. We don't have to have some kind of a status in order for him to make his strength and wisdom available to us. It is available to everyone that comes and seeks and asks of him. He doesn't say, "Now who are you? Can I see your past? Can I see your identification?" Well, yeah, in the blood, yeah. But beyond that, that's it. I'm his child. So when I come, whoever I am, maybe I've only served the Lord 2 or 3 months. Maybe I've served him for 50 years when I come. Is there anybody so new in the Lord that if they come to the Lord says, "No, you haven't been a Christian quite long enough yet, so I'm not going to show you that, or I'm not going to help you with that"? Or is there anybody that's been a Christian so long that they can say to the Lord, "Well, Lord, I really don't need your wisdom this time, because I've been serving you so long, I think I've got it now. And by the way, the enemy will lead us into all those errors if we let him. He will. Number six. Most of us will not seek, and here's the problem, most of us will not seek God's strength and wisdom until our strength runs out. Or we come to the point where we figure out that what we're doing isn't working. And that's a hard thing to admit sometimes. In order to benefit from and receive the wisdom that comes from God, we must first be willing to lay aside our wisdom in favor of His. Now, let me address this for a minute. In one way, we're better off in the area of strength, and I'll tell you why. Because our strength is limited. Our strength will run out, and when it does run out, then we'll probably turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I am out of strength. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. Lord, would you please help me with this? Would you please come to my aid? Would you please strengthen me? Would you please help me? And we'll turn to Him. Whereas flawed wisdom, on the other hand, is rooted in pride, and it will not run out on its own. It will keep on going as long as the Energizer Bunny. Anybody ever seen the Energizer Bunny? By the way, anybody seen him lately? I think I've been missing the guy a little bit. But for years, you never knew if he was going to be going in front of the aquarium or where you were going to find him. But the one thing about the Energizer Bunny is he never quit, right? And our own natural wisdom will not quit. It will not quit. It will not run out. It will lead us over the cliff, but it will still be going like the Energizer Bunny down at the bottom of the cliff. Natural wisdom has to be disowned, set aside, willfully, knowingly set aside by the individual in order for God to be able to get our ear and do what He wants to do. So just remember that. And that is covered in some detail in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul talks about the wisdom of this world, and he talks about the wisdom of God, and he talks about how that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and that God has chosen the weakest things and the things of least note and all of that to undo all the wisdom of man. And how that the wisdom of man stands in opposition to the wisdom of God and so forth. And if I want God's wisdom, I can't have it both ways. I've got to decide which I want. Do I want the wisdom of this world or do I want His wisdom? And I've got to be willing to set it aside and say, Lord, my wisdom will not do here. Please give me your wisdom and please give me your mind. And Paul finishes that passage and says, but we have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ on a matter? Can you say, I have the mind of Christ on that? Does that just happen automatically? Or does that come from inquiring and seeking His will and digging into His word? How is it that we reach the point where we can say about any particular matter, I have the mind of Christ? You may consider that a boastful statement, but I'll tell you what. God wants all of us to have the mind of Christ about every single thing we're engaged in. Can I hear an amen? He wants that for us. Nothing less really will suit Him. And so often when we finally say, Lord, I'm done. I'm all in. I've tried everything. Now you show me your way. Oh, but you see, how many have ever read in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, yet the end thereof is the ways of death. And that's man's wisdom. Because you see, we have all this experience. We have all this knowledge. We went to college. We have all these good friends that know are experts because they've been on the internet and read all up about it. We got all this stuff. We don't need his wisdom, do we? But we need his wisdom. Because otherwise, our wisdom isn't going to do. I was thinking this morning about an incident with my mom and dad. And I only know about it because I heard my dad tell about it. I may not have even been along yet when this happened. But you all have heard me talk about my parents doing mission work in Alabama for a good many years in the late 30s and all through the 40s and into the early 50s. And while they were down there, one day this lady comes from a certain church, and she says, "Brother and Sister Evie, I just have been sent out here. I want to ask you if you would consider coming and being the pastor of our church. We have a growing church out here, and I tell you, we're really doing good, and everything's going well, but we need a pastor, and we'd like for you to consider being our pastor." And so my dad answered, and I'm sure my mom too, and said, "Well, we got to pray about it. We got to seek the Lord's will on this, and if you'll come back in about a week, we'll try to have an answer for you." Well, a week went by, and my mom and dad hadn't heard from the Lord on it. So he said, "I'm really sorry, but I haven't heard a yes or a no from the Lord. So if you want to, you know, look elsewhere." She said, no. She said, "Well, give us another week." So another week went by. She came back. "Well, what's the answer?" "I don't know. Don't have an answer yet. So if you want to look elsewhere, that's fine. But I can't tell you because the Lord hasn't spoken." So they decided to give it a little more time, and the lady went her way, and that night my mom and dad said, "Well," back in those days they had a saying called praying through. How many have heard that push thing? Pray until something happens? Well, praying through is kind of like that, but praying through means I pray until I have my answer. They said, "Well, if we have to stay up all night, we're going to pray all night." So they prayed until 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And, you know, it was getting late, and the Lord still hadn't spoken. And my dad dozed off for a few minutes. And during that time, he said he might have only been asleep 3 minutes, 5 minutes. He doesn't know. He wasn't asleep all that long. But while he was asleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, he was on one of those back dirt roads, Alabama roads we had down there. And on either side was a big, deep ditch. And it had been raining. And it was muddy. And he was walking along the side of the road. And all of a sudden, a car comes up from behind him, passes him. And after it gets just a little way in front of him, he notices that that car is so jam-packed with people, their heads were sticking out of the windows. I hear Janet Rowland wants to do that to her Fiat, but that's another subject. Some of you will know what I mean. See how many youths we can get in it or something. But anyway, it was jam-packed. People's heads sticking out the window and everything else, and all of a sudden that car spun out of control and started spinning, and people started flying out of that car and landing, and there were bodies laying all around. And he thought to himself, "This is absolutely awful. I do not need to be a part of this." And he, in the dream, he jumps the ditch and begins to leave by another route. Next day the lady came back. "Has the Lord spoken?" He says, "Yes, ma'am, he has. The Lord says that your church is going to split, and therefore we are not going to take the invitation." "Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. Oh, you are so wrong. Our church is full every Sunday. We all love each other. God is moving over there. You are so wrong." And it wasn't very much longer after that, a few weeks, couple months or something, and somebody wanted to bring some preacher in, and the other group didn't want him in, and the other group went and opened the window and let the preacher in and had service anyway, and they had a great big what's for. Everybody got mad at each other. The church split. The church closed. It was padlocked, and sometime after that they came and physically removed the building. Now, if my mom and dad hadn't prayed about it, and if they hadn't waited to hear from God, and if they had just listened to that lady, what she was saying, or even judged by the appearances, would they have taken it? They probably would have. And then what would have happened? Well, they would have been out of the Lord's will, wouldn't they? So, I only give that by way of illustration. We may not be encountering things of that magnitude, and maybe sometimes we feel like God doesn't speak to us quite that clear or that direct, but I do know how many of you have kind of learned to know the voice of the Lord when He talks to you. And it's better to wait if you don't know until you do know. Amen? And that's just basic wisdom. That's His wisdom. And so sometimes we think, oh, well, that's a small decision. I don't need to involve the Lord in that one. Oh, really? Sometimes our small decisions can get us in trouble too. So, what should we do as believers? What we should do is realize from the beginning that we don't have that much strength and begin to rely on the Lord sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than when things are already beginning to mess up or go the wrong way or we're beginning to feel all exhausted or whatever. So much of that can be avoided. Oh, and don't you love that passage about those who wait upon the Lord? How do you renew your strength? How does it say you renew it? By what? Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. We don't like to wait, do we? We want to be doing something. Waiting on the Lord before His presence. I've always said when you're waiting, you're not doing nothing. You are actively, positively waiting on the Lord. And the picture that it gives us is they will what? Melt. On wings like eagles. Who can give me the aviation term for what happens when an airplane leaves the ground? It starts with the letter L. What's it called? What's it called? Lift! And did you know that when lift occurs, you would have to apply force to push it back down because it will rise in spite of itself? That's lift. Have you ever experienced the Lord's lift? And that's what happens to those who what? Go and consult the psychologist? Read a book about it? Check the internet? Those things may have their place, but no, lift occurs. From waiting on the Lord. There's one more point, but that's going to come after the song. God has more strength and wisdom available for us than we can even imagine. Number 7, there are 2 ways to operate in life. Which will we choose? And even as believers, this is a choice I believe that we make almost on a daily basis. For some of you, tomorrow starts the beginning of another work year. Cornerstone School, for example. Tomorrow is the actual first day of school. Can you believe it? For Awana, they resume when? Next Sunday night. And so, you know, the Lord has given us work to do. Sometimes we get weary, even in the work of the Lord. But whose strength are we drawing on? And if we need the strength, He's got it. And if we ask, he'll give it. And the same for wisdom. Any man lack wisdom, what does it say? Let him ask. Don't be too proud to ask. And don't be, well, this is a hard one for me. Don't be too impatient to wait either. Because he doesn't always tell you right away. But wait on him. That he'll have the answer. And when it comes, it'll be the right one. Let's stand together. We're going to have our closing hymn.